Good morning. Can you hear me okay? Let's say a little, I don't know if this is centered. I'm a little off center myself, so just kidding. Wow, that's bright. How does he do this every week? Oh, I'm Dan. I'm the chubbier, better looking version of Mark. So, and yes, he will see this if he's not watching it now. Praying and hoping that everything goes according to plan. God's plan, of course, not mine, not his. But let's go ahead, if you don't mind staying standing. Here, we're going to open up to Matthew 22, and that's verse 15 through 33. We're going to read together here. It's a lot. It's a big one, kind of. But before we get going on that, I have no idea how this thing works. Oh, look at that. Okay, you got a little preview. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that you do, Lord God. We pray that you would just meet us here right where we're at today. Lord God, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, and you would bless the words that you have given me to deliver, Lord Jesus. So I pray that these would be your words and not mine. I pray that they'd be understood individually and corporately, Lord. And I pray that these words that you have given would be taken home and applied in Jesus' name. So let's read, starting at 15. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you're a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar, or is it not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is on this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, well, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. On to 23 here. That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died. And since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven? Since all of them were married to her. Jesus replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. So, right now, I do want to again, say a quick prayer and release the kiddos, because I'm not going to make them stay here and listen to this boring voice. Right? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you that you bless the Children's Church today, Lord Jesus, as these kids go down. Lord God, I pray that your word would be heard by them and accepted by their hearts, Lord God, and they would take it with them throughout their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be released, and you guys all have to stay standing during the whole service. No, you may be seated. Good. So, have you ever felt like you've been trapped by someone? Yes? That was a rhetorical question. You don't need to answer. Have you ever felt like you've been trapped by someone into saying something you didn't want to say or doing something you didn't want to do? Or you didn't believe was ethical or true? And then afterwards, it made you feel like a fool or made you feel awful. You walked away from it. But there's been times in my life that, of course, I wasn't prepared in my spiritual life enough to notice that I was being trapped. So traps are often subtle and deceptive, designed to catch us off guard and can impact those around us. Some things we don't even think of as traps are worry and fear and sickness and disease. Why do you think those are traps? Why? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's because we can focus on our worry in our situation so much, whether the situation is disease, sickness, fear of something or someone, or fear of embarrassment, or fear of fill in the blank. And we focus on these things so much that we are replacing God with fear. We are essentially making this fear and this worry our God. Now, that isn't what the sermon's about. The sermon's about traps, if you notice the top of the title on your notes page. And feel free to take notes. I tried my best to one-up Mark on this, Pastor Mark. So, so these things like worry and fear and sickness and disease and anything else that you might come to mind, your mind right now on something you might be putting in place before God, or instead of God, I should say. Or think about a trap that you were set up in, or that you unintentionally or intentionally set for yourself. Because the reality is, in one way or another, there have been traps set for us and will be traps set for us, whether we do it to ourselves or not. But I think of a couple times in situations I was in that turned into a trap. First, I want to focus on my lack of wisdom in this certain situation I'm going to share. It's lack of wisdom, lack of God's wisdom and use of discernment. But I was in my mid-teens, and I was attending a youth event at a church. I'm from New York, if anybody doesn't know. If you hear some of the accent come out, then that's why. But I lived in a small town called Coxsackie. And the next town over is, well, there's Athens, and which is a tiny town in Catskill. If you've heard of the Catskills, I'm sure you have. So it's in the Hudson Valley. I'm from there. My church was in Coxsackie. There was a church, a youth event that happened in Catskill. So we went there, I was telling my wife, I can't remember if I was 13 or 15 or whatever, but I had a couple of friends, so-called friends, that were always had girlfriends, you know, they were always, you know, the cool guys, and I wanted to be cool, you know. So I kind of just did whatever they said because I was so eager to keep them as friends and to impress them. And So on this one occasion, though, these friends of mine buttered me up. And they told me, hey, there's that girl over there. You see her? She's pretty cute. You know, sorry, Anna, this is, you were not in the picture yet. I was living in New York. But there's this girl over there, and she's pretty cute, they said. And, she thinks you're handsome and you're good looking and you got it all, you know. And of course I was like, yeah, I know. So, you know, they said, hey, she'd be your girlfriend if you just walk up to her and say such and such. I'm not going to repeat what they told me to say, because in my naivety and innocence, thankful that my family, I was somewhat sheltered my whole life, way up until even my 20s, just innocent of mind and sheltered, but then, you know, at the same time not, because we're all sinners, you know. But I listened to them. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go up there and talk to her. I got enough confidence in myself, and I walked up and I said, such and such. That's not what I said, obviously. It's just whatever. But, you know, those friends, those so-called friends of mine, they were pretty cool, you know. They helped me out. They helped me get slapped in the face. And they also helped this innocent girl take off running, crying, and this innocent Christian girl. And it was just the look of distraught on her face and just sheer, like, shock. Like, did you ever have that? And don't tell me, you're lying if you don't, if you say no. But did you ever have that feeling where it's like your heart kind of, like, went down in your stomach and then went up in your mouth at the same time? It was one of those moments. And so I learned a valuable lesson there. Number one, what was the lesson? Number one, I was not using wisdom, and I wasn't prepared enough in the scriptures and the knowledge of God to discern what was happening to me. This trap that was set up. So in that situation, the idea of a potential girlfriend far outweighed the listening to the Holy Spirit at the time, trying to protect me and that young lady. And to this day, I cannot remember her name, can't see her face. I just remember that feeling and that look, you know, that I got. And who here believes, though, who here believes that every situation you're in, by raise of hands, God is using that situation to prepare you for your future and what you're going to be doing? How come none of you are, what, there's two. Okay, there you go. Good job. Did the camera get that? Good. I better raise my hands, too. But here's a couple other quick scenarios that I was in. So I was trapped in this certain situation because of lack of knowledge of Scripture. Much like the first one, if I had been in Scripture and I had been reading God's truth, I would have been prepared. But this particular one made me look like a real fool. And made Christianity kind of look like a fool. And, you know, all my friends and family that were Christians, there was this one job I had. I worked at a prison in New York, and there was a lot of Muslim, a lot of gangs and a lot of Muslim. Well, there was this one particular guy that was working for me. He was Muslim. And on more than one occasion, we'd be working next to each other and doing stuff, you know, moving stuff around. I worked in the commissary and the storehouse and a lot of other areas of the facility. And I didn't just sit there and bark orders. I would work along with them. So, you know, in my mind, I was like, okay, well, build a relationship so I share Jesus. Well, I wasn't prepared enough to do that. And I didn't see that. So this guy, he would always question me about the Bible and ask me to break down certain scriptures. Like, he would bring up a scripture of the Bible. And he'd say, well, break it down for me. You know, what's this mean? And did you ever run into those people that ask you a question but already know the answer? And they're just seeing if you know it? Yeah, well, this guy didn't really know the answer, but he came at me with that attitude. He thought he knew the answer, so he that pride in his knowledge of the Bible, his knowledge here, not knowledge here, but knowledge here of the Bible, that gave him that ammo to come at me. So he would ask me questions like break down the scripture here and there. But when I wouldn't, or if I couldn't, or if I was like made myself busy someplace else, you know, he would literally verbally attack me, my knowledge of the scripture. He would attack my faith as a whole. And I didn't understand, like I said, I didn't understand that I needed to be prepared and to look out for these traps that are being set before me. But sadly, throughout my whole career there at the jail, it happened on way more than one occasion. And there's still a sense of, a little sense of guilt there. But I know God has forgiven me for that. I can't go to the guy and ask forgiveness and really explain it to him now, you know? But there's grace in a situation there, thankfully. So another quick situation was, this one's a little tough to share because it's more a recent in my adulthood. So on numerous times throughout the year, adulthood, you know, from and a little into my teens, you know, you can go back that far too, I would always fall for the trap of want or desire, or like, you know, if I saw it, I had to get it right now, you know. And I would tell myself I needed it, of course. And this is a tough one to compare it to, but follow me. So just as a drug addict needs a fix, and just like a drug addict, I would tell myself I needed it, I would get it, I would not take my family or future into consideration, and how it would affect them or impact their lives. So, and just like an addict, I would justify everything I did. It's easy to justify the things that you want, right? Who here has fallen into that trap once or twice? Or, yeah, I think we all have at some point. That's not making it okay that everybody has. It's drawing attention to the fact that we need to be prepared in our hearts and in our minds. And to do that, we're going to get into a couple stories here. The point I'm trying to make here is that with this last story is that by God's grace and his mercy, he pulled me out of that sin. And kept my family together in the process. And my in-laws are sitting back there. She's going to take me out and beat me up in the woods out back. Just kidding. Maybe he is. I don't know. I can't see. There's a light in my eyes. But the point I'm trying to make here is that if you're not prepared, you will be trapped. No question about it. You will make yourself look like a fool. You'll make yourself, or you'll make others look like a fool. And of course, as I said earlier, the worst of all, you could ruin your witness for Christ, and you can make Christians look like fools